You are now listening to the iScript of Soul Shadows 2, Death Hunts the Soul, by Javier Torregrossa. Interior, the alcove. As we enter, we find Tanis seated at her small table. She methodically deals cards into a specific arrangement. She looks up as we approach, then she motions to the chair across from her and bids us to sit. We do. The ancient chair creaks beneath our weight, on the table. There are tarot cards. A Celtic cross formation spread on the table before us. Tanis, off-screen. Some be thinking they be magic in these cards, and others be thinking they lie. Wider. Tanis lifts the deck that holds the remaining cards. She holds it aloft in one palm, their backs to us, and the faces of the cards hidden. Tanis. And some, they be waiting to see what the cards be saying. A single card, under its own power, rises from the center of the deck that Tanis holds. Tanis. And only then do they decide to believe them or no. Tanis plucks the single raised card from the deck and sets the remaining cards aside. She flips the card around. A skeleton on horseback. The death card. Tanis. The card of death. He tell us that something be coming to an end. Something unstoppable. And there be no escaping it. Tanis sets the card on the table face up. Tanis. The witches reading them cards, they will tell you death. Ain't always a card to fear, but tonight. Tanis smiles as she holds the tarot deck aloft once more, then she lets the cards slip from her fingers. On the cards. As Tanis releases the cards, they slowly flutter through the air, unnaturally slow, dissolving into envelopes. They are bills, all of them stamped with the words past due in a large red and angry font. Tanis, voiceover. Tonight, death ain't nobody's friend. This card got itself a tale to tell, and this tale be called Death Hunts the Soul. Super. Death Hunts the Soul. The envelopes tumble down like leaves, ultimately landing atop a battered coffee table. Pulling back reveals, interior, flat, dining room, day. Adrian, 29, who lives in a dingy one-bedroom flat with nobody but himself for company. He sits at a round table, more suited to a furnished patio than a living room. Bills adorn its surface, covering every inch. Coffee ring stains have already marked yesterday's post as Adrian continues to read another devastated blow to his bank balance. Adrian, voiceover. Where am I going to find this kind of cash? Adrian picks up a newspaper. His eyes glance over the appointments. He shakes his head each time he reads degree and minimum 5 years experience. He picks up his identity badge and attaches it to his shirt. It reads, text, Adrian Feeney, janitor, badge number, 981-25667. He picks up his keys and leaves. Interior, shop, evening. Adrian steps inside a small backstreet shop. A small bell above the entrance signals his arrival. The shop appears to look like a snapshot, as if stepping into the past. Wooden furnishings dominate the surroundings. A round table draws the customer's attention, center of the room. Adrian sits down to await for the owner of the shop to attend to his custom. A low-level light hangs over the table. It's so dimly lit that he can only see across the table. The paintings that observe from the walls have faded into the background. Lady Damore, 67, wears a scarf over her head and a veil. She slowly enters from the back of the shop to greet her customer. She takes a seat and retrieves a deck of cards from under the table. Adrian automatically brings out a few notes and sets them on Lady Damore's side of the table. Lady Damore, with a French accent, speaks slowly and with a gravelly voice. Lady Damore, thank you. What kind of reading are you looking for? Adrian, can you see into the near future? A future reading. Your future's your future. Could be of any time. Lady Damore can only present you with the information the cards have revealed. What you do with it is down to you. Nothing like that. Not interested in a live-or-die scenario. I have money problems and I can't afford the bills. Do the cards have a solution for me? A welt reading. She places the tarot cards on the table and uses the Celtic cross spread. Four cards placed vertically, with two either side, and another four cards are placed next to the cross, also vertically. Lady Damore, let's see if you'll leave these problems behind you. A few moments later, after the cross has been revealed, Lady Damore reveals the ninth card. Adrian, what's this card? This card represents your hopes and fears. Card 15. The devil's picture's on it. That's not good. It's how you interpret the meaning of the card. Yeah, well, overall, it ain't looking good. It's not a complete reading. She reaches over to reveal the last card, and slowly turns it over. A look of horror crosses Adrian's face. He closes his eyes and sits on his hands. His voice shakes as his bottom lip quivers. The death card? Lady D'Amour, will my money problems go away? Lady D'Amour shakes her head in disappointment. She scans the cards in the order they were revealed.
This is not good. No, I am afraid you have not long to live.
Adrian opens his eyes and sees the laughing grin of death. Dead people and skulls rest at death's feet. The face of death etched into his memory as his image takes control of all thoughts. He flips the death card over.
Let's hope you're wrong, for my sake.
He stands up and leaves the shop. Interior. Hospital. Storeroom. Midnight. Adrian sits opposite Jeff, the overnight security of the hospital, as they play cards, with boxes as makeshift seats and another that doubles up as a table in between. Adrian holds a full house, pushes all his money in, and coyly smiles. Jeff.
Deal?
Adrian. I've got you this time. A gleeful Adrian lays his cards down. Jeff.
Shame those snake eyes have gone to waste.
Jeff glances at his watch. Jeff.
I could have done playing for another 20 minutes.
Jeff places his cards down one by one. Adrian's eyes open wide. Adrian.
A straight flush? Bastard, that's all my money.
Jeff.
You're almost as unlucky as the previous janitor.
Adrian picks up a mop and puts it into a bucket on wheels. Adrian.
What happened to him?
Jeff laughs.
Slipped on water. He's a janitor, for crying out loud.
Adrian pushes the bucket out of the storeroom. Adrian.
3 o'clock? You'll have to rob the patients to get a game with me.
Suit yourself. Adrian leaves the room. Hall. After a few hours of cleaning the floors, a girl of 8 in a red dress skips into the hallway from an adjoining hall. Her shoes click off the tiles as she skips up to Adrian. Adrian stops in his tracks. He looks up at the clock. Its hands point to 5 to 2 in the morning. Girl.
Have you seen my daddy?
I've not seen anyone, princess. What are you doing up?
Never mind.
The girl begins to whistle before she skips down the hallway. The night nurse pushes a door open at the end of the hallway as the girl skips past her. Adrian briefly sees an image of a janitor pushing a mop and bucket behind the night nurse, which startles Adrian. The janitor gives Adrian a side-on look with his eyelids closed. The door swings open and closed whilst the night nurse walks towards Adrian and obscures his view. Adrian drops his mop and walks towards the janitor. He speaks to the night nurse and points behind her. Adrian,
who's that janitor?
The night nurse continues to walk past Adrian and speaks over her shoulder. Night nurse,
there is no one there, just me.
You did see the young girl in a red dress, didn't you?
Honestly, Adrian, stop playing games and get back to work.
The night nurse turns to walk down another hallway. Adrian pushes the door open and looks down both ways of the adjoining hall. He rubs his eyes and retreats back to work. Interior, flat, dining room, day. Adrian sits at his table, drawing up drafts. He's bent over close to a draft as he carefully writes. Text, Massimo Domenicali. Next to him sits a small pile of fake drafts, alongside a similar-sized pile of notes. He picks up a bill. Its red font and bold font stretches all the way to the bottom of the page. He scans his eyes to the spaced-out section at the bottom that states, text, due date, 29th September. He picks up today's newspaper and reads the corner of the page. Text, 27th of September, 2009. He shakes his head, pulls back a sleeve to reveal his watch, picks up his keys, money, and ID, and then leaves. Interior, hospital, storeroom, midnight. Adrian and Jeff again sit opposite each other with cards in hand and cash in the center. Jeff checks his watch. Jeff.
Come on, Addy, I gotta end this. My shift starts in 3 minutes.
Adrian screws his eyebrows. Adrian.
Don't be so sure. This hand's enough to bring down Nick the Greek.
He smiles and displays his cards. Jeff shapes his mouth as he pretends to offer sympathy. Jeff.
Oh, so close.
Adrian's eyes awaken as if they've reacted to a loud bang. Adrian.
What? 4 of a kind? What the?
Jeff stands up, puts on his cap, and picks up his clipboard. Jeff.
It's just skill is all.
Adrian.
Bull, it's certainly something.
Jeff starts to walk out of the room. Jeff.
Catch you later. The vending machine is on me. You can have all the M&Ms you'd like.
Jeff laughs as he exits the room. Hall. A few hours later, Adrian, with a mop in his hand, slowly cleans the hall's floors as his head hangs low. He's preoccupied as if on autopilot, lazily sweeps the floor from left to right in a mundane, repetitive action. A loud scream ignites Adrian that awakens him from his zombie state. He looks around to find its source. Cold hands touch his lower neck from behind, which jolts Adrian forward. He turns around like lightning and only sees a 3/4 moon shining brightly in the clear sky. The hairs on his neck remain standing, which prompts him to rub his neck. A few windows swing open as the wind picks up and scoops up dead leaves and debris into the hall.
Tree branches scrape locked windows as if elongated fingers try to push them open. Shadows cross the hall from outside and enter the rooms whilst others exit in the distance. The wind screams as a thousand voices yell and carry spirits along into the hall. Adrian drops his mop and covers his ears as they begin to bleed. The wind screams and dies down a little bit, which allows Adrian to uncover his ears. The young girl from earlier screams for help. Girl.
Daddy! Leave my daddy alone!
Adrian sees the janitor from yesterday, who enters a science laboratory with a man's body slung over his shoulder. The janitor stops and turns to look at Adrian for a brief moment before he finally closes the door behind him. The sound of the door closing signals the end of the screams. Adrian runs off and leaves the mop and bucket as they were. Later, Adrian returns with Jeff. As they turn the corner, Adrian.
Look, it's just down...
Adrian stops suddenly. The hall's cleared of all debris. The windows are closed, and his mop that was once lying down now appears upright.
Adrian. There were leaves everywhere.
He looks at Jeff, whose expression of doubt has taken over all speech.
Adrian. You did hear the screams.
Jeff laughs as he trots back to his post.
Jeff. Yeah, the patients and their wackos. Addie, you've been doing this job far too long.
Adrian shakes his head in disbelief.
Jeff shouts down the hall. Take a holiday, man. You need it. Trust me.
Interior. Shop. Evening. Adrian sits opposite Lady D'Amour, who, with a cigarette in hand and a shot of whiskey next to the pile of tarot cards, coughs, which stutters her response.
Lady D'Amour. Like... like I've said.
She reveals another card and coughs again.
You shouldn't have another reading so soon.
The Fool card's revealed. Adrian grimaces at the picture's resemblance to the Joker card. The Joker's image flashes into his head.
Adrian. I must. The future can change. It has to. For my sake.
Lady D'Amour's hands tentatively poised to turn the last card.
Lady D'Amour. Ready?
Adrian puts both hands together and bows his head.
As ready as I'll ever be.
Lady D'Amour reveals the Death card and looks at Adrian, who has gone completely white. He closes his eyes and shakes his head.
Not again. I'm dead.
He opens his eyes and Death's laughing grin reverberates around his mind. He stands up and brings out a crushed note from his pocket, looks at it for a millisecond before he tosses it onto the table. He turns and walks out. Lady D'Amour picks up the note and unravels it. She tuts, shakes her head, and then takes a long drag from her cigarette. Interior, hospital, hall. Adrian walks down the hall with a bucket and sponge, visibly shaken. He walks down the hall and constantly looks around him like an overactive kid on a sugar high. He walks past Jeff and doesn't make an effort to make eye contact.
Jeff. Hey, Addie, it's me, your banker and friend.
Jeff laughs.
Jeff. Want a game later?
Adrian's agitated, speaks over his shoulder.
Adrian. Maybe later.
Adrian turns to walk down another hall. He freezes. Soapy water spills from his bucket. A pair of bare legs lie into the hall from an unlit room.
Adrian. What the...
Laughter fills the air, followed by the young girl's voice.
Girl.
He's coming for you!
The girl's comment triggers a flashback of the Death's image, which troubles Adrian. More laughter echoes off the walls as he looks around him to search from where this voice haunts him. The legs suddenly get pulled into the darkened room, followed by the loud click as the door's lock closes. Dirty water starts to slowly seep from under the door, which once again grabs Adrian's full attention. A white palm trails down the door's window. A scream distracts Adrian, who turns around and sees a room light on through the frosted glass. The girl's voice eerily calls out.
Girl.
Help me!
The light flicks off. He walks over to the room, pushes the door open, and doesn't cross the threshold. A pair of cat's eyes reflect from the other side of the room.
Adrian. Come here, princess. It's okay.
The cat's eyes flicker and refuse to budge. Apprehensive, Adrian leans in to look for the light switch. He hears heavy breathing close by and it instantly freezes. A mop's handle falls to the ground, enlightened by the hall's weak light. Adrian backtracks, with soapy water that continues to jump out from the bucket as Adrian's nerves have gotten the better of him. The girl screams when the door slams shut. Its window cracks and resembles a broken mosaic. Silence. Dirty water suddenly creeps from under the door. The water slowly spreads out towards Adrian. He steps backwards, when out of the blue, footsteps break the dirty water's smooth surface. With nobody to be seen, Adrian drops his bucket and sponge and runs off. Interior, hospital, storeroom, midnight. It's the next day. Adrian sits on a box and uses another as a makeshift table. He starts his lunch hour a few minutes after midnight. With a sandwich in hand, he perches a folded newspaper over his crossed legs. Jeff walks in and sits down opposite Adrian. and lets out a groan as he takes the weight off his feet. He sets down his clipboard and cap, too, and then brings out a beaten-up pack of cards from his chest pocket. The name Giles adorns the packet. Jeff.
Wanna play?
Adrian shuffles down a mouthful, assisted by a huge gulp of water. Adrian.
I've no bones to gamble with. I'm also not in the mood.
Jeff deals the cards. Jeff.
Okay, let's play to relax.
Adrian picks up his cards. Adrian.
All right. But leave the jokers aside. You know these cards belong to Giles?
Jeff discards one card from his hand. Then he takes a brief moment to scan through the pack to remove the last two. Adrian.
No, who's Giles?
The previous janitor.
He leaves the three jokers to the side, with one that faces upwards. Adrian catches the joker's smile with the corner of his eye. He drops his hand as the joker draws his attention. Its smile eerily reminds him of the Fool card's image. Death's image haunts him, accompanied by Lady D'Amour's chilling voice. Lady D'Amour, background.
This is not good. Not long to live.
Adrian drops his cards, stands up and leaves his unfinished sandwich behind. Jeff.
Where are you going?
Adrian grabs the mop and bucket and puts a box of toiletries under his arm. Adrian.
Not now.
He leaves the room. Jeff points to the makeshift card table as he raises his voice.
What about the game?
He throws a pair of knights and a Joe Louis down, and then picks up Adrian's newspaper. Hall. Adrian pushes the bucket along the hall with his mop. He walks into the hall from the previous night. This time he turns the other direction to avoid the rooms with all the disturbances. He gently pushes the bucket ahead of him, and then starts to wipe the floor. Ghostly figures fill the windows from outside, and unaware Adrian continues to keep his head down as he tries to catch up on lost time. He hears an unclear whisper from just behind his ear. He quickly turns around and grabs hold of his ear to rub away the cold dead of the night. Cries and laughter fill the stale air. Adrian has that, oh no, not again, look across his face. Girl.
Help me!
The hall's lights flicker before they switch off like a domino effect, one by one away from Adrian. Darkness, for a brief moment. A room's light takes an age to flicker on at the end of the corridor. A voice over the intercom makes an announcement. Voice.
Giles, can Giles go to room 113?
Spillage in room 113. Adrian slowly walks down the corridor. Inaudible whispers fill the air. The moon gradually reveals itself behind the black clouds and lights up the corridor. He looks up at the moon and freezes. Each window pane's filled with a ghostly apparition. He looks down and away from the windows. A whisper echoes around the hall. Whisper.
Not long to live.
Lots of laughter replace the whispers. Adrian continues to walk down the corridor and ignores the laughter. He stops outside room 113. The room has the word laboratory scrolled across it in an arc. The moon's light exposes blood smears next to the handle across the wall. He looks down. Dirty water surrounds him. His white-rimmed shoes engulf from the mess that seeps from the room. He takes a deep breath as he opens the door. Lab room. Adrian steps into the lab room and leaves behind his equipment. The whole floor is covered in dirty water. The sound of water from a tap at the other side of the room dominates the silence. Lab tools and equipment lie broken along the floor. A joker card rests next to the light switch, which raises an eyebrow. He looks down and sees a trail of playing cards along the floor. Some rest on broken equipment, others float on the water. He follows the trail down the aisle and turns around the corner. He jumps back in shock. Jeff lies face down with a broken mop handle in his back. Adrian.
Aw, shit, Jeff! What happened?
Playing cards lead to Jeff's body. Blood trickles out into the dirty water. A sink next to Jeff, with one tap on, continues to run. The water overflows over the edge and onto Jeff below. Adrian makes his way over to the sink to turn the tap off. He can't quite fully close the tap off as it continues to drip. A different card floats in the sink face down. He picks it up and slowly turns it over. A single laugh fills the room. Adrian reveals the death card. The door slams shut and the light switches off. Darkness. Footsteps break the water. Shelves shake and discard their contents. Adrian backtracks to avoid the presence in the room as it circumnavigates him. He bumps into equipment that hangs off the worktops and trips over. Adrian stumbles to his feet and finds the light switch. He screams as he comes face to face with dead janitor Giles. Giles, with the broken mop handle in his hand, swings it forward in a blink of an eye and stabs Adrian in the face through his gaping mouth, which instantly kills him. Interior. Shop. Evening. Elizabeth, 45, enters Lady D'Amour's shop. She's wrapped a little too well for this mild summer's evening. She shuffles into the shop and wipes her nose with a handkerchief. Another hangs out from her sleeve. Lady D'Amour enters from the back. With a glass of whiskey in a hand and a cigarette in the other, she takes her seat. She gestures to the seat opposite. Lady D'Amour.
Seat, seat.
How may I be of service? Elizabeth shyly takes her chair. Elizabeth, you may not remember me. I came here a year ago, and it's come true. Now I need another reading. Lady D'Amour nods.
Ah, yes, I remember. A reading about wealth, right?
Yes, yes, you're right.
Right.
Lady D'Amour takes another drag on her cigarette.
What kind of reading are you looking for now?
Elizabeth sniffles some more.
Well, I haven't been feeling so good recently.
Lately, everything seems to be going from bad to worse, Lady D'Amour interjects.
And you want Lady D'Amour to see the good for you, yes?
Yes, Lady D'Amour. I need to know what good can come from all this bad luck I've received. Lady D'Amour deals the cards. Super, 10 minutes later. Lady D'Amour turns the last card of the Major Arcana set. Elizabeth recoils in horror and shakes her head. She brings out an old handkerchief to wipe away her tears. Elizabeth.
Oh, no, oh, no, no, it can't be. I go to church every week. What have I done wrong?
Lady D'Amour examines the cards and takes a quick drink.
This is not good. No, no, I'm afraid you have not long to live.
Is there any way you could be wrong or come up with an alternative reading from the cards?
Lady D'Amour stubs out her cigarette.
I'm sorry, Elizabeth. The cards have told their story. It cannot change.
Elizabeth starts to cry and gets up to leave. Lady D'Amour glances down upon the death card. This time it contains an image of Adrian's head at the feet of the Reaper. She finishes her glass and sets it down. A girl, 8, skips into the parlor, looks up at Lady D'Amour and smiles. Lady D'Amour,
hello, sweetie. Want to play?
She smiles again, twirls in her red dress and nods to Lady D'Amour. Girl,
I'm a princess.
Lady D'Amour stands up and takes the girl's hand.
I'm sorry, princess.
She takes the girl's hand and leads her back. Girl,
not as sorry as Elizabeth.
The girl looks up at Lady D'Amour and smiles before they exit the room. On the table, Adrian's mournful face gazes out from Death's card, dissolved to the Death card, clutched between Tanis's fingers. Tanis, off-screen.
Debt and life. They be two sides of the same card.
Wider. Tanis flips the card, front to back, back to front. Tanis.
Without one, ain't never gonna be the other.
Tanis sets the card aside, then looks down to the Celtic cross spread before her, then back to us.
But what card be for you?
She taps the 7th card in the spread, the one on the lower right.
This card. This the card be telling us about you.
Tanis moves to flip the card, but she hesitates. She looks up with a sly smile.
Or don't you be wanting to see?
Tanis lifts the card so only she can see it. Then she laughs aloud.
Ho, ho, ho!
She turns the card to us. The fool.
Debt and a fool. We got us a pair tonight indeed.
She lays the fool card beside death. On the cards, death and the fool, together, side by side. Tanis, off screen.
The fool, he'd never be expecting debt, so he never fear it. And maybe these cards be saying you be foolish till debt have his day. Maybe you be so lucky.
Fade out. This concludes the iScript of Soul Shadows 2, Death Hunts the Soul, by Javier Torregrossa. Feel free to visit us at www.iscript.com.
Our privacy policy strictly forbids the resale or transfer of any iScript product that you obtain a limited license to by downloading the script for your personal use. We have agreed with all parties that provide availability of scripted material that we will cooperate to the fullest extent allowed by law to prosecute any unauthorized use of an iScript product.